I want to begin by correcting the music group. The psalm should have been, Lord, let your sun shine on us. Not your face, your sun, S-U-N. Sun? Oh, I had explained that one. How many of you remember the music group Creedence Clearwater Revival? Okay, so you're clearly over 50, 60. Yeah. Well, you remember one of their big hits and should be hit again is Who'll Stop the Rain? Who's going to stop it? Every day we have it. You know, I've tried some anti-rain dances. Hasn't happened. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. Now, one of the good things about it is we have a pair of mating mallards that have taken up residence over to the side of the church. They're swimming in the pools. And I'm looking out there saying, wow, it's really been raining. I don't think I've ever seen puddles like we have because of the rain. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. And I'm thinking, I want to see the sun. I mean, we missed the eclipse because of clouds, and now we're getting all this rain. I hope that it's good for the farmers, but who wants to go out in this mess? You know, with the dreariness, I just want to sit tight and stay warm and take a nap. I've taken a lot of naps. If we could see how God showers us with his graces and blessings, it'd be a heck of a lot more than what we're seeing in this rain. It would be constant, constant, constant. You know, the rain, we know it's going to end. We know we're going to have a sunny day now and then. But with God's blessings and graces, it's constant, 24/7. But do we realize it? Do we appreciate it? Do we accept those graces and blessings? As I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, especially during Easter, we're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be grateful, thankful. We're supposed to thank God for his mercy. And do we do that? I mean, are we filled with joy at Easter? And joy is not a feeling. It's really something I do out of commitment and conviction that God has won salvation for me, and therefore I can act in a manner that is joyful, so that when other people see me, literally, they should be able to see someone who has this joy and to practice it, to work at it. What it would look like for you or for me to show joy. And again, as a choice, as something that I do. And the more I do it, then the feeling's also going to be there. But I've got to do it. I mean, do I go right back to my routine when I go outside these doors and I start worrying about this or about that, or I got to go to Wegmans or whatever? Or do I think, I'm going to show joy. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to do and practice being joyful, doing joyful things. And you know as well as I do, I've said it before, I don't want to be around glum, down in the mouth people, you know. Oh, yeah, you can talk. Oh, why, well, you don't know my story. No, I don't want to be with people like that. People don't want to be with me when I'm like that. I want to be with people who are joyful, who are convinced in some way, no matter what's happening. And fortunately, as a priest, I've been with people like that who may be dying, and yet they're joyful. They have chosen to be joyful. And it's like, I don't need to share my pain and suffering with you because you're here with me. And so let's make a choice to be joyful. Or as Paul might say, let's make a choice to rejoice. But we can do those things. We can be thankful to God for his mercy. We can rejoice. We can be joyful. Again, because God is showering us constantly with his blessings, with his graces, with himself. God's here. He's always with us. And we even believe, the church teaches, that as we are celebrating the Eucharist, our salvation is being accomplished in us. Now, it was accomplished once and for all with the death and resurrection of Jesus. But because we're human beings and we get sidelined or we get distracted, we forget that, and we kind of go back into ourselves, or we act in a way that has nothing to do with the goodness of God. So I've got to remember, God has offered me salvation. What do I do to show him that I want it, that I'm grateful for it, that I can rejoice in it? And we need to keep prompting one another. You know, and sometimes we have to shake one another and say, you know how God has blessed you? The very fact that he created you as a unique human being. He loves you as a unique child. Isn't that something to rejoice in? And the whole Easter story is the fulfillment of God's love for everyone. He didn't have to do it. But in suffering and dying and rising, he's saying to us, every one of you is important to me. Every one of you counts. I want all of you to be with me in heaven. Of course, we do have a choice. We do. We have free will. We can say no to God. But hopefully, every time we come to Mass, we're remembering who Jesus is, what he did for us, and how he's calling me to be a disciple, to go forth and show the victory of Jesus, to show the goodness of Jesus, to show the joy of Jesus. When he appeared to the apostles, as we read tonight, he didn't say, you know, you guys abandoned me. I don't like you. He didn't. He was there out of love, to show to them that he had risen from the dead. He wasn't there to point his finger or shake his finger. He was there to say, see what I promised you, I did. And now it's your turn to follow me as a disciple and to proclaim what you have seen, what you have experienced. That's what we're supposed to be doing, because the death and resurrection of Jesus is what the Eucharist is about. Therefore, what we have seen and participated in, we're supposed to tell other people. So like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, in the breaking of the bread at Mass, they recognized who Jesus was, and they went right back to Jerusalem to tell their friends about that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, not just going back into a routine, but asking ourselves, okay, God, you did this for me. You are with me. You are giving me graces and blessings. You have given me charisms, gifts, to use in the world. How do I want to use them? What do I want to do to take those gifts and actually use them? How do I want to practice rejoicing, being joyful? How do I want to go to the world and say, God is so merciful, no matter what you have done, and that's what the second reading is all about. No matter what we've done, we have an advocate. All we have to go is to the advocate and say, I am sorry, forgive me. And God's willing to do that, no matter what we do. No matter what we do, God is willing to forgive us. Again, there is good news. God was not like the Pharisees, who Jesus said, you put burdens on other people and you don't help them. God takes off those burdens from us so that we can be truly free to rejoice, to show hope. That's another great gift that God gives us, hope. But do we practice it? Or do we keep going into whatever it is that keeps distracting us and we become despairing and hopeless? There's a lot of hopelessness and despair in the world, but here we are attesting to the one true God who saved us so that we can always have hope. No matter what we do, there's hope. What a great gift. And again, God showers those gifts upon us. So maybe we should think every time it rains, and we certainly need it during the summer, but to think, yeah, you know, that's just like God. And of course, what does God do? He allows the rain to fall on the good and the evil. So he allows his gifts to be given to everyone, but it's up to us to recognize those gifts and to use them so that we can be more faithful in following him. So every single one of us has particular gifts, particular callings, particular talents that we are called to use to proclaim the good news of salvation. And, you know, Catholics in particular, because we haven't been raised in this idea of discipleship or evangelization, you know, we leave it to the nuns, we leave it to the priests, we leave it to the deacons, we leave that to people who are hired. But look at the problems we're having. So here is an invitation from God to say every single one of us, through baptism, has become a disciple, has been given gifts, and we are called to use those gifts to proclaim the good news of salvation wherever we go. And again, as a community, we're called to prompt one another, to support one another, to celebrate with one another, and even to point the finger and say, now that wasn't a really good thing. Why don't you try this next time? But can we bring joy? We can. Can we bring the mercy of God, the knowledge of that to others? Yeah, we can. Can we rejoice? No matter how we're feeling, yeah, we can. Can we give thanks to God at all times? Yes, we can. So the more we practice those things, the more we are practicing what we're doing right now and experiencing Jesus Christ risen from the dead, and then take it out into the world so that more people can see how God is showering upon them these graces and blessings and wants them to thrive and to flourish as his children. So sky's the limit in terms of what we can do. I think we think, well, I'll try this. When God says, surprise me. Come on, I'm giving you all this great stuff. What would you like to do? How would you like to practice this? What do you have in mind? What saying have you read that did something that you could do it too? How might we do what people before us have done and do it in our own way because we are unique children of God? So as you go forth today, think about that. The joy of this Easter season, we hear it every day, actually, in the preface where it says, therefore, now overcome with paschal joy. Well, is anybody overcome with paschal joy?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. But again, there too, it's not something we wait, okay, God, put that paschal joy in my brain. He says, no, I'm going to try it. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to practice being joyful because the greatest news there is what we're celebrating and experiencing right now. So we can't keep it to ourselves. Otherwise, we're unfaithful to God. We have to spread it around, just like the rain, just like the blessings of God. We've got to keep on spreading it around so that it takes root in other people so they too can see the joy of God, know the goodness of God, and come to be part of communities like this that are focused on doing the will of God to bring salvation to the world.